First, Georgia voters in many areas faced long lines, faulty equipment, a shortage of poll workers, and more as they went to cast their ballots in the state's primary election this week. And the experiences of voters in Georgia echoed what some Wisconsin voters faced on the April 7th election, which was marked by confusion during the COVID-19 pandemic. Our next guest joins us to talk about what happened this week in Georgia and lessons that can be learned for the country as a whole as we head into general election season. Kathy Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. Kathy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, what was your reaction to some of the news we saw in Georgia and all the election issues they had there this week?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, you know, Georgia particularly has had a pretty recent history of problematic elections, some of them intentionally created, some of them logistical, but they also, the problems that Georgia experienced also show us what is almost assuredly going to be a set of challenges nationwide as we approach the November general election.
Let's untangle it a little bit, because there's almost a perfect storm of badness in parts of Georgia. Taking it one piece at a time, let's talk about the pandemic and how it's affected elections. People reluctant maybe to go to the polls, floods of mail-in ballots, poll workers who might be in at-risk populations not wanting to volunteer, understandably. How much have we grappled with, how much have we reckoned with the impact of COVID-19 in the way we vote?
Well, you know, we haven't done it very well yet. We've done it because states have been working through trying to figure out how to have their primaries during the pandemic, but we haven't been successful yet. And so one thing that I would say to sort of organize our thinking about this is to remind listeners that in the United States, almost everything about the way elections are conducted are controlled by state and local governments. And so one of the challenges we face is that the general election in November is really 50 different state-level elections that are conducted by thousands of local elections officials. And so one of the problems we have is that there is no one way that we can prepare to do business in November. So the problems in Georgia were different across the state of Georgia. Some counties and local authorities didn't have problems, others did. So within a state, you can have a wide variety of experiences and capabilities and resources and problems. And then across the country, we're going to see a great range in those kinds of things. So we have had some experience in some states who have conducted or tried to conduct their primaries during the pandemic. Some states didn't have that experience. They got their primaries out of the way beforehand. And we've never done anything as massive as a general election under the circumstances that are at this point impossible to predict for November.
I saw one Secretary of State in the country saying, in effect, well, glad we weren't Wisconsin. We got to watch them go first on this, and maybe saying the same thing about Georgia now. Are there concrete lessons you hope that states and local officials are taking from what we've seen in Wisconsin and Georgia that they can apply and make maybe November go more smoothly?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we have to use every day that we have between now and November to prepare. So one of the great challenges that the states who conducted their primaries recently have faced was, as you articulated in the introduction, a very difficult time getting poll workers to staff polls adequately, a concern about people having to come out face-to-face to vote. And so what happened in a lot of states, as we saw here in Wisconsin and in Georgia and other states, one of the solutions was for elections officials to say, well, let's just do as much of this by mail as we can. Let's just do absentee ballots. Now, there are five states in the United States that conduct all of their elections by mail and have done so for many years, and generally without problem. The problem is that those states didn't implement those systems overnight. They implemented them carefully and in a constructed way over time. So part of the problem was that mail elections and absentee ballots sounds like a great solution to an in-person problem, but there are enormous costs in startup and in execution, and that's where a lot of states have had problems. So a state like Georgia, so part of Georgia's problems the other day were actually problems with new elections machinery that they had in physical polling places. Other problems they experienced were created by a wave of mail-in ballots. Here in Wisconsin, we had a crush of mail-in ballots. We had problems with ballots that weren't delivered to voters. We had problems with ballots that weren't delivered from voters to elections officials. So if mail balloting feels like a part of the solution for November, because we assume the pandemic will still be raging, then we need all of the time between now and then to get systems in place for printing and for distribution and for canvassing ballots and for counting. All of those things, you know, need to be figured out in the next several months.
We're talking to political scientist Kathy Dolan from UW-Milwaukee, looking at lessons learned from Georgia's and Wisconsin's primary elections, what it means for the big one in November. Kathy, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this here. First of all, with mail-in voting, President Trump in particular has been very outspoken, criticizing mail-in voting, raising concerns of fraud, and saying it gives Democrats an advantage. What do you make of the politics of whether states should expand mail-in voting?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that politics has come to color people's thinking about this, because there is no evidence at all that relying on mail-in ballots helps one party or the other. So as with many things, the president tries to raise doubt and raise suspicion in people's minds without any corresponding evidence. And this is one of those things. Again, there is no evidence at all that conducting mail ballots helps Republicans or Democrats more. So that we are approaching the specter of the election with some people will have confidence in the election and some people won't because of that. So that's a problem in and of itself. One of the things about mail ballots, so in states that conduct elections by mail ballots, there are laws and there are...
Kathy, are you still there? I think we've lost our guest, Kathy Dolan, distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee, talking about voting, elections, problems that were encountered in Georgia and Wisconsin during the primary elections. We'll try to bring her back on to spend a couple more minutes on this topic. In the meantime, you can tell us what you want to see happen in our election system. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. You know, you can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Kathy, do we have you back?
We do.
Okay, sorry about that. I think that's on our end. So I'm sorry, you were talking about mail-in voting.
Yeah, so you know, you raised the question of President Trump sort of raising a concern about mail ballots. Again, no evidence of mail ballot fraud, problems, et cetera. But one of the things about which people might be concerned in the fall is that mail ballots take longer to count because they have to be hand-fed into counting machines. And so if we have an enormous increase in the number of absentee or mail ballots that states and localities receive, we have to acknowledge up front that we are almost assuredly not going to know winners of elections on election night in the way that we're used to, because it will simply take much more time. Some states, I don't know if this part of what I said was on the air yet or not, but in some states, the law says you can't start counting mail-in ballots until after in-person polling places close, which almost assuredly means it would be some number of days after Election Day when a state or a locality would finish counting their mail-in ballots. So if President Trump is already trying to sow concerns about mail balloting potentially being fraudulent, imagine what he's going to be saying in November if we don't know the winner of the election until perhaps the Thursday or Friday after. So mail balloting taking longer to count is not in and of itself a problem. unless political forces decide to try to make people suspicious and make them think it's a problem. So there are concerns about the politicization of this and, you know, how that's going to affect what people think of the legitimacy of a result.
Briefly, as you wrap up, Kathy, you know, we used to wait for, you know, horseback riders to deliver the votes in elections in early American history. Do we need to just get more mellow with the fact that, hey, maybe elections don't have results on election night?
We do. And for that, we could perhaps turn to our friends in the media to help us be mellow, because, you know, part of the industry of TV and radio and the Internet has been, you know, to satisfy that curiosity and that demand for knowledge immediately. So if the networks can disengage and if, you know, radio can disengage and we can all take a breath, and if we know up front to be told that the expectation is going to be that it might not, you know, be the case where we can know the result that night, and people start to get used to that idea and understand it's not a problem or a negative, then that would go a long way to helping.
Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
Kathy Dolan is a distinguished professor of political science at UW-Milwaukee. She joined us today to talk about this week's primary election in Georgia, Wisconsin's April election, and what it all means for voting in November as the COVID-19 pandemic continues.